The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. We bring the show to you each week to teach you and educate you about different injury subjects. Let's face it, when you're injured in a car accident, crash, truck car accident, pedestrian truck accident, pedestrian car accident, hit and run, you're up against an insurance company. And, you know, we always talk about the myths in this business, the myths. And one of the myths that we always see in our law firm is somebody comes in and they've been injured or they don't even come in, and they later come in and then they say, you know, I've been injured. It was not my fault. Surely somebody's going to pay me. Surely the insurance company's going to take care of me. That's what insurance is for. We have a lot to learn about this, and we're here to teach you and tell you about all the behind-the-curtain secrets about these insurance companies. They are not your friend. They are your enemy. When you're injured in an accident, we call it the at-fault insurance company, the at-fault party's insurance company. So who is at fault in the incident, the accident? That's what we're going to talk about today. How does the insurance company actually pay you any money, and why? How do attorneys work with this, and what goes on behind the scenes, and what do you need to know to protect your rights to be paid fairly and adequately for the compensation for your injuries? These insurance companies insure the at-fault driver, the one who rear-ended you, the one who T-boned you, the one that ran a red light, the one who pulled in front of you and tried to cut across the intersection, the one that was drunk, the idiot that was texting and driving, the idiot that was talking on their cell phone and not paying attention to what they were doing and hits you, and you're off to the emergency room. Boom. Your day has changed. How does this work? So, Brad, let's talk about the general system. First, you got the at-fault insurance at-fault party's insurance company. How does that work? You're the injured victim. You have your own insurance company, so let's break this down for everybody so we understand.
Yeah, you're going to be involved in a couple of different entities that you're dealing with, that you're trying to make claims with, and that you're trying to do things with. You're going to want to talk to your own insurance company when it comes to the med pay. You may be wanting to talk to them when it comes to the UIM or underinsured motorist coverage, or maybe the uninsured motorist coverage. You're definitely going to talk to them when it comes to the med pay. That's going to be one of your first calls. You're also going to be talking to the other side's insurance company when it comes to getting compensation from the at-fault driver. You've got to be able to understand what the different offers are that they're going to make, what they're for, how they affect you. Can you take a part of an offer? Are you going to get advance money to pay any bills? And maybe for living expenses, and you're going to have a number of different issues you're going to be addressed with. One of the things you're going to want to find out is how much the limits are that are available to everybody for recovery. Is there any money recovered available for recovery at all? So there's a number of issues and questions that you're going to have to cover as soon as you've been hurt in a crash. If you've been injured as a result of a personal injury, as a slip and fall, you're going to want to find out who the claims manager is, and you're going to want to find out whether or not there's any kind of money to pay for medical bills that automatically pay for medical bills of an entity when one of their customers is hurt on the premises. You're going to want to find out if they have any other insurance, and if so, who should you be talking to? You want to be able to limit and cut down who you need to and who you should talk to, how many times you have to retell your story, how many times you have to rediscuss your injuries and what you want to do. So there's a lot of things you've got to do when you get involved in some kind of personal injury.
All right, so behind the scenes, these insurance companies for the at-fault party, as Brad just said, it could be a big box store. It could be a retail store. It could be a mall. Today we're talking about a car accident. It's the insurance company that covers and insures the at-fault person, the person who hits you, rear-ended you, took you out of your game plan, boom, sent you to the hospital in an ambulance. You weren't planning on doing that. You were going home, had a nice evening plan, but here we go. Now your fight starts with the insurance company. You understand they have policy limits. The person who hits you bought an insurance policy that has policy limits. And so that's going to be one of the major constraints beginning. It doesn't always last, but the beginning constraint by the insurance company for the outfall party. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, people come into our office and they've been in a car accident, and they say the outfall insurance company won't pay me, but they don't pay your medical bills. They don't pay for your pain and suffering. They don't pay for your injuries as you go. They pay in a one lump sum settlement later.
It's a technique that works for them quite often to get a reduction in how much they have to pay because they're hoping you're desperate. And if you're desperate, they hope that you're going to take a deal, you're going to take some kind of offer without being able to hold out and get a full and fair compensation. They understand they don't want to pay and they're going to tell you they don't want to pay until everything's resolved. So the first thing is they may very likely make an initial offer long before you figure out whether or not you're permanently hurt, well, long before you figure out what your total injuries are, and it'll be what we call a low-ball offer. It'll be something that's saying, here's some money, take it, go away, sign up all the releases, sign up everything, say you're through with us, we're through with you, you can never come back, and you're taking the risk. If you look at the releases they give you, it'll say right in there, you're taking the risk that your injuries are more or worse than what you're getting compensated for. And they'll make that offer. So, you know, when we tell you they're not going to pay until it's all over, they're not going to pay the appropriate amount until it's all over. And a lot of times even then they're not willing to pay the appropriate amount. But they will make this lowball offer at the beginnings quite often.
Right, and you need to know how they value this. The whole key to the system is how do they value this. You have this insurance company that insures the driver who hits you. Okay, we know that. What are their policy limits? They're not going to want to tell you. You need to know that. You need to know for several reasons, but one of the reasons is you need to coordinate that with your own car insurance company, UIM, Underinsured Motorist Coverage. We'll cover that in a different show. But you need to know the policy limits. That's the initial constraint that the insurance company for the outfall party deals with. So, let's say you're injured in this accident, you have a neck injury, you're off to the hospital, or maybe you don't go to the hospital, you go to your PCP, follow-up, and they say most of the time they're going to diagnose it as a cervical strain. Sometimes they do an MRI and find ligament damage or disc damage or a bulging disc or herniated disc. But let's say you have a sore neck. You know, how is the insurance company, you want to present a claim, but you don't know how long your neck is going to be hurt. A lot of people, it goes away. That's great news. A lot of people, it doesn't. They have to treat with maybe therapy, go back to the doctor. Some of them have facet injections, facet injuries later. And so Brad was talking about a quick settlement. The insurance company for the outfall party wants to get rid of you. And so, Brad, they usually tender a low-ball settlement, as you said. And what should people look for? What should people be careful of when they're trying to tender this low-ball settlement?
You have to be careful of not knowing what your injuries are to begin with. It takes time. A lot of times you're not even going to know the nature and extent of your injuries until maybe a week, 2 weeks after the car crash. That sounds odd. You're going to be going, oh, wait a minute, shouldn't I know it right away? No, it's like a lot of things you'll do in life where you feel the pain the next day or a couple of days later in a car crash. You might not feel the pain for quite some time. That's why, because your body is undergoing some kind of inflammation. It's gone through some kind of disc herniation. You're going to start feeling some pain and some tingling. Maybe it's going to be within a couple of days. It might be a week down the road. How bad it is, you're not going to know until you go through the proper medical care. That medical care is very important for you to understand what the medical care is going to be, to understand how long it might take before going through the medical care, you understand where you've reached MMI, some medical improvement, where you've reached a point where you can actually talk about what is going to be needed in the future and also what you did in the past. Sometimes the medical care is, I guess, kind of trial and error. You're going to be going to, you know, maybe therapists. You're going to be going to chiropractors. You're going to go to massage therapists. Because one of the things our medical system is built on, and for sure our legal system, but our medical system is built on, is to try to use most conservative measures first. So the doctors say, well, we can't see inside your body. We're going to maybe use some MRIs. Maybe we're going to use some x-rays. A lot of times they don't even start with the MRIs. They wait to see if it goes away on physical therapy. They'll look at x-rays, which don't tell you nearly anything you really need to know about tissue injury and about ligament injury. It's not going to talk about that. And so what you're looking at is you're looking at a situation where even the medical field doesn't know where you're at and how long it's going to take for you to recover and what might be necessary for quite some time. So when you're dealing with the insurance adjusters, you've got a lot to deal with as far as them wanting you to get the case resolved and done and telling you, oh, the crash just wasn't bad enough for you to be hurt. It wasn't significant enough. There's not that much injury to the cars or damage to the cars. Or even if there was damage to the cars, you were wearing your seatbelt, weren't you? And you had all the necessary, the airbag went off and you had all the necessary protections. So you just can't be hurt.
Right. You know, and sometimes they offer you a quick settlement. We're going to talk about that today because, as you've already gleaned from the show, many times doctors don't initially know what your diagnosis is. They're just doing what they're taught. You go to your doctor, she gives you an initial clinical examination, and she's doing what she's taught to do. Sometimes they don't really know. They diagnose it as a cervical sprain, but a cervical sprain can turn into more serious issues with your neck, like a facet injury, and you need facet injections and that sort of thing. But a quick settlement, they offer you a quick settlement. And so we've said this on the radio many, many times. If they offer you a quick settlement, and if you don't know exactly what your injuries are or how long they're going to last, and if your doctor doesn't know exactly right now what the diagnosis is and how long it's going to last and what kind of treatment you're going to need to engage in, then how does the insurance company know? How do they know what to pay you? How do they know what the value of your claim is? And the answer is they don't. They want to try to get a quick settlement. And when they give you the lump sum money, because they don't pay as they go, when they give you the lump sum money, they're going to have you sign a release and your case and your injury claim is over with forever. That's what we counsel people not to do. If you're going to make a settlement, you need to understand the nature and consequences of the settlement and your injuries. Bell and Pollock. Next up, if they give you an offer of settlement, exactly what do you do? Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. When a driver chooses to violate a safety rule, everyone on the road is in danger. That means you, me, everyone. Driving and dangerous choices. Think about it. The only allowable choice is the safest choice. Otherwise, you and your family are put at risk, in harm's way. This is really what car crashes are all about. One driver makes a choice that violates a safety rule, everyone else is needlessly put in danger. In danger of injury, medical bills, surgery, lost jobs, quality of life changes, and future expenses. All it takes is one driver and one dangerous choice. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims for over 25 years. We can help you put your life back together again. We'll fight the insurance company who defends those who injure you and your family, those who make dangerous choices. At Bell and Pollock, we are experienced injury attorneys who care about you and your family. Reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. One call, that's all.
Hi, it's Mandy for my friends at Bell and Pollock. I know these guys. They're real. They genuinely care about their clients, and I endorse them because they do business like my dad did. If you've been injured in an accident, call them 303-795-5900.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is the only show of its kind. We are injury attorneys. We've helped injured victims put their lives back together for over 35 years. We've helped their families. We've helped them navigate the insurance maze against the insurance company who tries to beat their claim, mitigate their claim, reduce the payout to next to nothing or nothing if they can. And we showed you ways they try to blame you. In previous show, showed you a way how they try to blame you for even a rear-end accident when you've been rear-ended. I mean, it's hard to believe this stuff happens. We're here to teach you. We've been doing this for years. We've done injury shows on other stations, and we're so glad to be here at 850 KOA to teach you and educate you about injury subjects. We cover a different one each week, and we go into it in detail. You can always call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900, or our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Okay, we're dealing with a motor vehicle accident. Let's say you're in a motor vehicle accident. You were rear-ended. Your head got snapped back and forth. That's called whiplash. It's called acceleration, deceleration forces. It's known to cause certain types of injuries. You don't exactly know how long this injury is going to last, if it's going to go away or if it's going to be permanent. And so you go to the doctor and you're treating. Now, they want to offer you a settlement, so they get your medical records. That's how this works. They get your medical records, but you got to be careful how you give them. We have a case protecting you in the state of Colorado. It's called Alcon versus Spicer. We're going to cover that in a different show, but there's a special way to protect your medical records. Of course, you have to give them the relevant medical records for them to value your claim. And now let's say, Brad, we're going to jump fast forward just for a second. Say they've done it. Say you've been treating for 7 months, 8 months, a year, and now they're going to offer you $100,000, which is the policy limits on the claim. Your medical bills now are $40,000, and they're going to offer you $100,000 policy limits. And now you're faced with the proposition of having had to pay back the $40,000 to the health insurance company. Let's talk about that first, and then we'll switch over to MedPay.
The health insurance company is going to want to get paid for the money they've handed out. They've probably sent you some kind of document. Now, they probably sent you a couple of documents. So the first thing you've probably got was a document where they sent a letter to you with a little questionnaire on the back, or a full-page questionnaire, or one attached, saying, we understand you were hurt, and it might be as a result of a negligence of another, and therefore we have a right to see if we can seek recovery from that negligent person. Please, it won't say please, it'll say give us the information concerning what happened and fill out this form. If you don't, we may not be willing to pay your bills, and we're not willing to pay the medical bills. Now, this letter sometimes can come out before your explanation of benefits even comes out. And the reason is because they're trying to say to you, and they're actually saying to you, we may not pay the medical bills at all and leave you hanging because you won't fill out this form. Now, sometimes they have that right within the insurance contract. Sometimes they don't. It's important that you, in a response to that, say, well, where's your insurance contract that tells you you can do that? But they'll want this information. Now, the reason they want this information is because it's their intent to go after the party who caused your injuries. It's their intent to seek recovery if you don't. And sometimes they'll say they're going to. I'd say probably 80-90% of the time, if you don't go after them, they don't either. But the bottom line is they're telling you that they expect to be paid or reimbursed for the medical bills they've expended on your behalf by the negligent or the at-fault party. So, you know, the minute you hear, it's kind of interesting because the minute you hear an insurance company saying, oh, you're a greedy person because you're going after our poor at-fault party who made a mistake and you want money from them, it's amazing how, you know, nobody says, well, the insurance companies are every bit as greedy because they want the same thing. As a matter of fact, they're telling you they won't pay your bills without that being paid, without you going after them. So now they want the information, and they're going to say to you, we have a right of subrogation. They're going to send you a little letter saying the subrogation right gives us the right to be compensated for our medical bills that we pay on your behalf to whatever amount you recover.
Right. You know, let's put it this way. If you go to the health insurance and you go for that, and you have health insurance and you go to your doctor and you treat, you're not injured in an accident, you treat, you go for a physical exam. You go for a sore throat. You go for a sore arm. You hurt your arm in a sporting accident. You go. There's no third party. There's no at-fault party who caused your injury. So the health insurance company is going to pay the doctors, pay the hospital if you go to the hospital, and there's no right of subrogation, meaning they want to be paid back. Because there's no third party. There's no at-fault party to go after. But when you're injured in a car crash, let's use that example. In this example, they're going to offer you $100,000, and your medical bills were $40,000, and the health insurance company paid the $40,000. Since you were injured by a third party, i.e., the at-fault party, the person who rear-ended you, and since the insurance company for them, they're going to pay you $100,000, then the health insurance company wants the $40,000 back. Brad, and we're not to MedPay yet, but on that situation, how can the injured victim be helped? Because health insurance contracts, there's a right of subrogation, meaning the health insurance company wants to be paid back. Can you negotiate with these people at all? How can you help the injured victim and save them some money instead of paying the $40,000 back to the health insurance company?
You certainly want to negotiate with them. You want to talk to them about what they're willing to take, how much you're allowed to keep. You want your lawyer to talk to them about how much they're willing to take and how much you can keep. You're paying a lot of money to collect this $100,000. You've usually had to hire an attorney. You've got costs in the point to the point of getting medical records, maybe getting medical opinions. Doctors charge anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars an hour. That's right, a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars an hour to give you an opinion or to talk to you or to sit down and discuss with your lawyer what's going on. If they go to trial, they even want more. There's a lot of money you're spending, and for the health insurance company who has been picking up premiums, and we all know these are not small amounts of premiums they're picking up. They've been getting paid on a monthly basis huge premiums by you or by your employer to insure you. For them to just walk in and say, now we want all this money back, and we want to take it out of your pocket, and I guess, you know, you should be really happy that you had health insurance with us and you paid all those premiums, because we're making sure we don't have any losses, and so those premiums are going to be just pure profit to us. They walk in and they say, this is what we want. So it's important, it's very important that you take a look at and you see what kind of negotiations you can do. A lot of that's going to depend on the type of insurance coverage you have. One of the things you want to do is get the policy. Another thing you want to do is you want to find out what the source of funding is for the money that's been paid to pay your medical bills, because there will be a source of funding, and you've got to find out where that money's coming from. It's vital.
It can become quite sophisticated. We can get into ERISA plans and who funds the ERISA plan, is there reinsurance, et cetera, but we're not going to cover that today. What we're covering is, in this example, you injured your neck in a car crash. The insurance company for the at-fault party is going to pay you $100,000 after they have fully evaluated your claim. Let's say you're a year after the accident, and they finally came to the conclusion that they're going to pay you the policy limits of $100,000. Your medical bills are $40,000, and your health insurance company who paid the medical bills wants their money back. What a great business model, right? Think about that. You pay your health insurance company premiums for all this time, maybe 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. You collect the premium. Now they paid the doctors on your accident, your injuries, and you recover for your injuries, and they want their money back. So there's ways to try to negotiate and beat that, and we can't cover them all on the radio. We couldn't even begin to. There's the make-whole doctrine, common fund doctrine, and we're going to save that for another show. But you have to pay them back. Brad, let's switch real quickly to MedPay, because if you buy, let's say you bought $10,000 in MedPay in that example, and they pay you $40,000, you don't have to pay the $10,000 MedPay back to your own car insurance company.
MedPay is an example of where our courts have taken a look at the system and has indicated what it thinks is fair and has identified a fair process with regard to MedPay when you're dealing with your own insurance company. And this is what happened. We have MedPay sitting there, and MedPay is actually a method that came about sometime after no-fault sunsetted. We used to have no-fault insurance in the state of Colorado. It's sunsetted. Which means the legislature did not renew it. It just let it go away. And then what we had is we had no-fault insurance company, or we had people without any insurance, or if they did have insurance, they didn't have money to pay the emergency responders. They didn't have money to pay the ambulance. They didn't have money to pay the emergency room. They didn't have money to pay doctors after that. So as a result of that, the legislature put in a situation where every policy, unless you reject it, every policy is going to have at least $5,000 in MedPay. That's money that is paid to the healthcare provider regardless of fault, regardless of who caused the crash, regardless of what might be the decision later on. The automatic $5,000 comes out. You can actually get more than $5,000. You can get insurance limits, depending on your insurance company, at $25,000, at $50,000, at $100,000. I don't know too many that go to $100,000. There's very few. But for sure, you can get it up to $25,000. And we can talk about it after the break. But you absolutely have to get MedPay, and you have to get it as high as you can afford. Do not give up your MedPay, and please get it as high as you can afford.
Yeah, Brad just said a mouthful. Okay, in this example, they're going to pay you $100,000, right? Your medical bills are $40,000. If you used your health insurance company to pay your medical bills, you got to pay the $40,000 back. There's some exceptions to that. That's the general rule. If you had bought a MedPay for $40,000, think about this. If you bought $40,000 of MedPay, the MedPay of your own car insurance company would pay your medical bills, and you don't have to pay your car insurance company back. You get to keep the money. Up next, we're going to be talking about how can you legally set it up to get your own money back, and you don't have to pay the insurance company back. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.